The Old Testament reading is from the prophet Micah, and we begin in the sixth chapter. Hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth, for the Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent you before Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will he, Lord, be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is from 1 Corinthians in the first chapter. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad. For your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, our gospel lesson is unusual this morning in that we had the same gospel lesson fairly recently. But this is really rich stuff, so we're going to take a look at this from a different angle. You know, being poor in spirit, whatever that means, it doesn't sound like a reason to describe yourself as blessed. Same thing if you're mourning. You know, we just had a memorial service for our beloved Donna Peterson a few weeks ago. And I don't think her children, Kim or Doug or Todd, or their spouses, Jeff, Sue, and Julie, or Donna's grandchildren or great-grandchildren, or her many friends here at Christ the Vine, I don't think any of them feel particularly blessed because Donna died. They're mourning, and that's different from blessed. In fact, I don't think the meek or those who hunger or thirst for anything are particularly blessed. It doesn't seem like they are anyway. So it makes me wonder, what is Jesus talking about here at the beginning of Matthew 5? You know, this list of people who are blessed is called the Beatitudes. Sometimes they're referred to as the Beatitudes, as in, this is the way you're supposed to be. You're supposed to have this kind of attitude. So, if that's true, if you're not merciful, you better make yourself merciful in order to receive mercy. Or if you're not persecuted for righteousness' sake, then you better do something righteous and get persecuted for it. Because then, yours is the kingdom of heaven. Of course, that's ridiculous. But sometimes this list of Beatitudes, unfortunately, is viewed as a list of instructions for us to follow, a list of things for us to do, a recipe for happiness. Just do this, and life will be great. That's what theologians would call law, by the way. Is that what Jesus is giving us here? Law? A list of rules or instructions for life? You know, if you were more pure in heart, you would see God. So you need to become pure in heart. You got to try harder. Is that the point? Is that what the Beatitudes are? A kick in the rear to get you off your duff? Or are the Beatitudes something different than that? Maybe even possibly a comforting arm around your shoulder. Our gospel lesson today starts at the beginning of Matthew chapter 5. The preceding verse, the very last verse in Matthew chapter 4, says this: great crowds followed him from Galilee to Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. In other words, Jesus' fame was spreading throughout the Middle East. Thousands of people were coming out to see him. And the very first verse in Matthew 5 says, seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. So who were these huge crowds of people who were following Jesus everywhere he went. Well, reading through the Gospels, it's pretty clear. Many were sick or disabled or dying people desperate for a healing miracle, flocking to the only person who could help them. And there were people filled with guilt and shame, people hungry to hear authoritative words of forgiveness, words that meant something, words of eternal life, the kind of words that only Jesus spoke. And then following Jesus around were wounded spirits, people who shuddered at the cruelty and pain and suffering they saw all around them. People desperately hoping that somewhere, somewhere, there was kindness and compassion. All these thousands of people, and they weren't looking for a swift kick in the rear. They weren't looking for a football coach's halftime locker room rant about digging deeper and trying harder. They weren't even looking for instructions on how to live a happy life. They were looking for something they could only get from Jesus. They were looking for a healing touch or a proclamation of forgiveness or a compassionate word of hope. That's what they were looking for. And that's what they got. I'm going to repeat a story here that many of you have heard before. And I apologize, but I'm going to repeat it because the point that it makes is important. The year after I graduated from college was a rough, tough time in my life. My family was disintegrating. My parents were divorcing. A buddy and I had arranged to rent one side of a duplex in Tacoma, Washington, near PLU, where we went to school. But he ended up getting a job in the Bay Area of California. So my dad moved in with me. It was rough. I was depressed. I was looking for a job. I'd just broken up with a girlfriend. I was trying to figure out what I should do with my life. My dad was even more depressed. In fact, he was going crazy right in front of me. It really shook me up. I despaired that he would never be the same. I despaired that I would never be the same. One Saturday night, late in January, I decided to find that list in the Bible somewhere, that list of people who were blessed. By reading who was blessed, I was thinking that I could figure out why I was not blessed. I had no idea where to look, but flipping through my Bible, I found the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, and started down the list, one by one. Immediately, I was stumped. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What does that mean? For that matter, what does the kingdom of God mean? I went to bed in the wee hours of the morning, falling asleep after praying that God would show me the meaning of poor in spirit. I didn't know what it meant, but I had an idea, a hunch, that whatever it was, that was my problem. The next morning I woke up early to my dad knocking on my bedroom door. He wanted to know if I'd go to church with him. I didn't want to go to church with him. For one thing, hanging out with my dad was depressing. And the other thing was, I'd gone to bed very, very late. Just a few hours before, actually. And now it was very early in the morning, and I was tired. I didn't want to go. But I did. Completely unbeknownst to me, it was the fourth Sunday in the season of Epiphany. This Sunday today, 43 years ago. And at Christ Lutheran Church in Lakewood, Washington, Pastor Cy Torvend read the passage we just read and explained what poor in spirit meant. The poor in spirit recognize, they acknowledge their desperate need for God. That morning, Jesus was speaking to me through his word. And he wasn't saying, "Hey, Morris, get on it. You got to recognize your desperate need for God." That's not what he was saying. Because I already recognized my desperate need for God. I was already poor in spirit. Because I was beaten up just enough. Mostly because of my own sinfulness. And because of the fallen nature of the world we all live in. Life had beaten me up to the point where I was thoroughly afraid of the future. And I recognized, probably for the first time, my desperate need for God. I was poor in spirit. But Jesus wasn't kicking me in the rear. Instead, he was putting his arm around me and telling me amazing good news. I was blessed. I was blessed through the struggle I was experiencing. And everything was going to be okay. I was blessed because the kingdom of heaven is given to the poor in spirit. And the kingdom of heaven exists where the gifts of God are given and received. Gifts of mercy. Gifts of help in every trouble. Gifts of forgiveness, gifts of salvation. Everything was going to be okay. I was even given faith to believe it. And it came to pass. The Beatitudes are not a kick in the rear for the underperforming. They're not an admonition to just try harder. They're good news to you who are struggling, to the meek and the grieving, to the brokenhearted and those who long for mercy, to the pure in heart whose intentions are good, to those who long for peace, for those whose cause is right in the eyes of God, for those persecuted in the name of Christ, and also for those in pain, those suffering loss, those in despair, for those trapped in a continual cycle of failure, for all those who are poor in spirit, all those who recognize their desperate need for God's help. It may not look like it right now, but you're blessed. You're blessed. Because the kingdom of heaven, the gifts of God, are for you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love and compassion and mercy toward us. Lord, help us to be poor in spirit in the sense that we recognize our desperate need for your gifts, for your compassion and your forgiveness and your love for us. And cause us to respond to your great gifts to us with love for you and love for one another and all our neighbors. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.